Hi, welcome to Money Culture for Women, our inaugural program. And today we are absolutely delighted to host Stephanie McCara from Charleston, South Carolina. I've known Stephanie for a long time. She's one of the top advisors of women in the country. She has a degree in psychology and a law degree, which to me seems like a pretty good combination if you're going to be talking to people about advising them on their finances. She's also a published author, soon-to-be-released book called Money-Minded Families, How to Raise Financially Well Children, hopefully be out this year by John Wiley and Associates. Stephanie's a principal at Charleston Investment Advisors, where she works on preparing families for a secure financial future, provides customized planning and goals-based advising. So, Stephanie, welcome.
Thanks, John. It's good to be with you.
All right. I wanted to ask you, when we've talked in the past, we've talked about financial wellness, and it often seems like a buzzword nowadays and maybe being misused by some people. So could you tell us, what is financial wellness, really?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the way that I view financial wellness, or we view financial wellness, is if you think about, you know, particularly women, women communicate and kind of socialize a little bit differently than men. And I think we've had to evolve the way that we speak to people and that we do planning work in our industry. Not everybody's done this, but we're trying to do this. And in the past, you've seen, you know, a lot of people, money is scary to them, right? They think of money in terms of what they have or they don't have, which creates overspending or oversaving, none of which is healthy. And so financial wellness is really the idea. It's a state of well-being. It's different for everyone. It doesn't have to do with a dollar figure, but has to do with having a plan so that you can achieve minimal financial stress, a strong financial foundation, and just create an ongoing plan to help people reach their financial goals. So it's really about clarity around their financial situation.
Can you talk to me for a minute about some of the focuses behind financial wellness and building a secure financial future? For instance,
sure.
You know, you indicate there might be you have to look at the ways of saving maybe a little bit differently, for instance, today.
Yeah, it's really just, you know, aligning an individual's values, right? So we often start with, a lot of people are used to our industry saying, okay, what type of performance can you get me? How much money can I take out of my portfolio and not go broke? And that is certainly a piece of it. But we start with your why. You know, why is money important to you? What is it that you are trying to achieve? And one of the things, I don't know if you know the Your Money or Your Life, Vicki Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with that book. But one of the things she talks about in there, and I remember reading this and it just really struck a chord with me. I mean, money is something you trade your life energy for, is what she said. And if you think of it that way, you think of, you know, if I'm working and I'm doing all these things, and then I look at my spending. If I'm trading my life energy to buy this thing, is it worth it? And how does that align with who I am as a person and what my values are? And so that's really, you know, it really informs looking at things differently like that and aligning your values with your spending really helps you spend differently because you're more mindful. And the mindfulness and the wellness, though they have become buzzwords, I think there's some real legitimacy to that. Another thing we talk about, I hate the term budget probably more than I dislike the term retirement. I just think they're these, you know, sort of really dated ways of thinking about things. And a budget makes people cringe when you ask them to put a budget together. What are you spending? And people just see numbers on a spreadsheet. But for us, when we talk about it, we actually refer to it as a spending survey because it sounds a little nicer. But it's also just thinking about, it's a tool for awareness, being aware of how you're spending your money. Are you being deliberate in your purchases, or are you letting your money, you know, sort of control you? So that's one area of financial wellness, is really being aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it. We also talk about saving. Saving is critical for anything you're trying to do. And saving, if you think about pay yourself first, we all hear that. Most people hopefully have learned what that means. Instead of paying everyone else, paying your bills and then seeing if there's anything left over, make sure that you're saving for yourself and paying yourself first out of your income. And really what that's doing for you, it's buying you freedom. It's buying you freedom for your future self so that you can transition your career, you can take time off of work, you can retire without running out of money. And so that's another, again, it's just a little different way of thinking about save, spend, share, invest, and putting some more meaning and some real peace behind what we're doing.
At what stage does investing come in the process? Because I imagine, well, back in the day, you used to get people coming in, okay, you know, I need the best thing you can give me to invest in. Mm-hmm. And that's more than archaic, that's wrong. So where does investing come in?
So we look at investing, the assets that you have to invest, as one of your resources. And so whether it's passive income from real estate property, whether it's Social Security, whether it's an investment portfolio, they're all resources that will help you fund your goals or help an individual fund their goals. And so we take a very holistic approach. So we look at all the different components that an individual has today and how they will help them fund their goals in the future. And so investing, then we're left with an investment model or a vehicle to say, okay, what type of risk do we need to take in order to achieve this goal? If your goal is to retire at 50, you probably have to take a little bit more risk than if your goal is to retire at 70. And so just really, it's an education. It's showing clients that, you know, that you start with the ultimate goal in mind, and then you refine them as markets change, as your lifestyle changes, and then you make sure that your investment portfolio is diversified. It's not too risky, but it's, you know, it's built to meet your needs, really.
So is it fair to say, and if it's wrong, please say that it's wrong, but
sure,
that a lot of people that you meet with, women and men, for that matter, really don't have the awareness you need to start with?
Yes, and I don't, you know, I think, I often think about, because I'm so in this business, and so I assume it's like any other profession. When you're in it, you wonder why everybody doesn't know the same things that you know, or, you know, recognize mistakes, or understand that they're being charged excessive fees, you know, all those types of things. But I think our industry has just done a really poor job of being transparent. And so it's going to take mm-hmm. some time, and it takes advisors who spend the time with clients to advise them on, you know, really what they're getting themselves into, what the costs are, what the risks are. I think it's fair to say that people definitely approach investing with blinders on. Our tagline for the company is investing starts with a plan, because we believe you just simply can't invest a portfolio unless it's money that you don't care if it goes up or down, or you don't need it for anything, or it's not important to you. You have to align the way that your account is invested with what you're trying to achieve in life.
To me, you described a sound investment process, and one that you employ, as being a combination of goals-based and risk-based. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. I mean, the reality is, you know, you must invest in order to grow wealth. I mean, you can save all day long, but if you really want your money working for you and you're trying to build enough wealth, and I define wealth is defined differently by every person. The amount each individual needs to live off of, to achieve their goals, to not run out of money at retirement, is different for everyone. Everyone's circumstances are different. But understanding what those goals are and what those needs are comes with what are your goals, but then you have to design an investment portfolio that it takes into consideration risks, the risks of,
right.
you know, market downturns and what happens at that point. And so sure, I think it's a combination of both for sure.
Just the last comment on investing process is that I noticed performance was not the key integral question, not the first one you start with. It may be in some people's minds, but that's wrong also. Am I correct in that?
Well, I think it's important to understand the journey and to understand what performance you're getting and why. And I think that's where there's a big misunderstanding. You know, if you're getting 5% versus 10%, but you're risk averse, that's why. And you don't need to draw a significant amount of money off of your portfolio. So it's really about, you know, what are your needs and is that portfolio there for you for the long run? And so the number's extremely important because it drives whether or not you can, you know, build up your nest egg and draw down enough from your nest egg. But it shouldn't be the only thing that's focused on.
Parting shot, Stephanie, since this is the introduction to Money Culture for Women, one piece of advice that you could leave people with?
So I think I read recently by 2020, which is next year, women will control over, I want to say it was $22 trillion in assets because of either they're widowed or they're divorced, but they're going to be managing a significant portion of the assets, investable assets. And so it's time, you know, women really need to educate themselves and learn, and there are a wealth of resources to do that. I'm thankful for folks like you who are doing this, and they just, you know, educate yourself, empower yourself, and just set yourself up for a secure financial future.
That's terrific. Thanks. We'll all hear more from Stephanie as we go on this journey of Money Culture for Women and our series of podcasts. We've got one on small businesses coming up, too. So we look forward to hearing more about it. And I assure you I will be plagiarizing pieces of your book in use for the course. Or maybe I'll
Sounds
ask
good.
You to clip a few pieces before you come out. Steph, thanks so much for being with us. I look forward to talking next time. Stephanie McCara, Charleston Investment Advisors.
Thank you.